Hello everyone, welcome to episode 8 of season 6 of the D1 Only podcast presented by TAP, Thoughts, Actions, and Progress. My name is Eduardo Villalpando and I'm your host, and I want to thank our sponsor TAP for making this possible. Also, thanks to all the listeners for being here with us. Today we got ourselves a very special guest, Alexander Rotsar. Thank you for being here, man, and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Alex is an NCAA Division I student athlete at Stanford University. During his time in college, he has been named an ITA All-American, ITA Northwest Region Player to Watch, All-Pac-12 Second Team, ITA Scholar Athlete, and Pac-12 All-Academic Honor Roll. So congrats on a great career so far, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so let's start. Blue-chip recruit coming out of high school, basically could have gone to any school you wanted. What was so special about Stanford that made you go there?
Yeah, you know, I think what's really special about Stanford is kind of the mix of academics and athletics. You know, I think it's very rare to find such, you know, an established tennis program that has, you know, such an amazing academics that come with it. You know, coming, you know, kind of growing up, you know, Stanford is always kind of my dream school if I was going to go to college. And, you know, to me, it was just a no-brainer to be able to have the opportunity to get this world-class education, you know, while having, you know, a really cool tennis team, you know, with some really good players and some really good coaches.
Okay, and did the level in college tennis surprise you when you first arrived to Stanford, or would you say you were prepared for how competitive it is?
No, I mean, you know, I was prepared for how, you know, for how competitive it is. You know, I think in the U.S., you know, I think it's pretty rare to go pro right now, you know, unless you're, you know, at the level of 400 or 500 ATP. And so I think, you know, a lot of the players that I had grown up with playing with, you know, had all gone to college. And so, you know, you're kind of just playing over and over the same players. At the same time, you know, college tennis, you know, has gotten a pretty good reputation at this point. You know, I think you have like, you know, 6 or 7 guys in the top 100 or, you know, in the last several years that have gone through that college pathway. And so, you know, I definitely think that, you know, the level of college tennis is known at this point.
Yeah, man, for sure. And for all the listeners, like, you guys should check out, it's on YouTube everywhere. I feel like your matches, literally the Stanford matches are on YouTube, like all of them, literally, like you against UCLA, USC. I think I've seen some of your matches. I don't know if it was against Ohio State or who, but it's like crazy level, huh?
Yeah, there's some good matches.
Yeah. So ranked 36 in the world in juniors, traveling all over the world and doing Laurel Springs, which is an online school for high school athletes. Would you say that prior to committing and just being a high school kid in general, you were significantly more focused on athletics and academics?
You know, I think naturally, you know, traveling so much, you know, your kind of purpose of traveling is, you know, the tennis. And I think it's very difficult to get, you know, to a relatively high ranking, you know, where you're playing Grand Slams, you know, and kind of, you know, the top junior tournaments without being so focused on tennis. At the same time, you know, my family always, you know, kind of instilled in me that, you know, education is really important. You know, that's kind of why I always had the idea of Stanford. And so, you know, I tried to really balance both. You know, I took all the top APs, you know, I took all the classes, really, you know, tried to do my best to get into Stanford, which is, you know, a complicated process, to, you know, in itself. So I think it's a mix of both, but, you know, I think, you know, when you're in Brazil and, you know, you have a match the next day, you know, your main focus is going to be playing that match. It's not going to be, you know, as much the textbooks, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And would you care to break down a little bit how was that process, before getting accepted into Stanford, of just, like, sending transcripts over, like, essays, talking to the coach and things like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, for Stanford, it's a bit more of a complicated process. You know, there is a real application. You have to handwrite and submit you know, a bunch of essays, all that transcript stuff, and take the SAT. You know, I think Stanford's the only place where I really had to do a real application. And, you know, I think it was a real process. But, you know, like I said, it was a dream for me. And so, you know, it was just a process that I had to go through. And, you know, obviously it came out successful. So
yeah, that's pretty dope, man. And as we were previously talking, so opposite to your case, there's like so many players out there who are not that highly recruited, so the college offers are like really limited for them, at least from a Division I level, of course. What would be your advice for them, just in terms of not getting too caught up in the junior rankings? Because a lot, like, sometimes these players don't understand that junior rankings don't necessarily limit your future success, you know?
No, definitely. I mean, you know, I think I would try to be, you know, transparent with the coaches, you know, make it as obvious as possible. You know, I think sometimes coaches get so caught up in, you know, kind of the junior rankings, but, you know, I think if, you know, you talk to the coaches and you're very transparent of, like, you know, this is, I want to come here, this is my goal, this is my kind of my tennis, you know, transition, you know, this is what I'm working on and kind of make it apparent, you know, I think they'll have you on your radar. And I think, you know, you can see some, you know, amazing cases, you know, for example, Max Cressy, you know, at UCLA, you know, he was playing five or six and, you know, now he's top 100 in the world or, you know, close, if not probably in the next couple of weeks. And so I think, you know, you're definitely seeing, you know, that's really possible to do in college.
Yeah, shout out to our guy Max, man, former D1 only guest. But would you say the playing Division I tennis was something you always wanted to do?
I mean, you know, I think pro was always kind of the dream. You know, especially, you know, I think that's why you work so hard in juniors, and you know, that's why you travel so much. At the same time, I think you have to be realistic. You know, I think I always was at the time, and you know, I just didn't feel like I had the level to be pro at that time. And I think that, you know, college tennis serves its purpose of, you know, if you want to be a pro, to be a transition or, you know, kind of a transitory period, you know, where you can work, you know, get in a world-class education while, you know, getting ready to go pro if that's what you want to do.
And so far, has it been everything you expected it to be?
Yeah, you know, I think Stanford's an amazing place. You know, we have some really good coaches, you know, a really, really cool team. And I think, you know, just getting education at Stanford to me was, you know, kind of a dream. You know, it's kind of always what, you know, what my family and I had talked about when I was really young. And I think, you know, it's really cool to, you know, have, you know, professors that are Nobel Prize winners or, you know, people that, you know, that you see on TV every day. I think that's just an experience that you're not going to get at other places. And, you know, from my position, you know, if it's going to take you a couple years to mature and get ready for the pros anyway, you know, you might as well try to get the best education that you can.
Before we continue with another episode of the D1 Only podcast presented by TAP, we want to talk to you about our sponsor, Thoughts, Actions, and Progress, who provide the opportunity to any athlete around the world to build their own mental program. TAP, Thoughts, Actions, and Progress offers self-taught manuals focused on the athlete's mindset growth. They give athletes the opportunity to create their own mental program, and these are manuals adapted for different levels at an affordable price. Everyone go check out tapmindset.com as well as the Instagram page tapmindset for more information. Yeah, for sure, man. I agree 100% with that. And this is like a hypothetical scenario. Of course, this was not your case, but this is just like for all the high school athletes out there who perhaps maybe not that highly ranked. Would you rather go to a low-level Division I school where you are not competing for a conference title, where you're not competing to make in the NCAAs or anything like that, or would you prefer to go to a high-level Division II school?
I think it really depends what your purpose is. You know, I think if you're trying to use tennis, you know, to, you know, kind of to get the best education that you can, then there are some really good schools, you know, that aren't ranked, you know, as high from an academics perspective. I think that, you know, if you're trying to go pro and, you know that that's, you know, you have your own goal, your own purpose, you know why you step on the court every day, I don't see a reason why not go to Division II if you think that's the best place for your tennis. You know, I think too many people focus on Division I or Division II. I think it's all, you know, kind of, you know, all in the head. I think it's, you know, whatever your purpose is of, you know, why you go to school.
Okay, so, I mean, of course you were always, because of your junior results and everything, you were always destined to go to a top level Division I, but Was that in your mind? Like, for example, if you got an offer, like a crazy offer from a Division II or like an NAIA school, would have you taken it, or is it just because it's not Division I, you were not even considering it?
No, I mean, I wouldn't have considered it. You know, just because Division I kind of has, you know, higher level, you know, and also there aren't as many schools that, you know, with as many good players in those divisions. But again, you know, I think everyone's in different circumstances. You know, I think you see a lot of players that, you know, had eligibility issues that, you know, that went there. And, you know, I think the level can still be high.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I'm watching a TV show right now called Last Chance U, which is like...
Yeah, I'm watching that too.
The basketball one?
I watched the first couple episodes, yeah, of the first season.
Yeah, and it's like crazy because like for everyone who has not watched this, it's basically about the story of a junior college, which shows like how many different backgrounds of like how many different players with different backgrounds are in junior college. You know, you have like top athletes who may have not had like the greatest academics, but they're like, still like crazy athletes, and you also have like lower level guys. So it's like crazy how it works in junior college.
Yeah, you know, I think that just, you know, proves my point of, you know, those kids know why they're going to that school. You know, there's no doubt in their mind. Every day on the practice court, you know, they know they're there to transition to the pro. I mean, either to the pros or back to a Division One school. And so that's the way I see it. You know, I think a lot of the schools, you know, if you have that purpose, you know, it's not an issue at all.
Yeah, for sure. So mental health is something we really care about here in the D1 Only podcast presented by TAP. I feel like it's really important for student athletes to have a clear mind in order to be fully productive, considering you're doing school, weights, practices, traveling during the weekends, etc. Do you think players realize about the importance of it?
I think slowly and slowly more. You know, I think as you see more kind of social media presence around it and awareness, you know, especially at Stanford, you know, we have, you know, professionals that, you know, we're allowed to work with that can help us, you know, off the court and on the court. I definitely think that, you know, it's something that should really be on the top of people's minds. You know, especially, you know, me at school, you know, it's not easy sometimes having to handle, all the school commitments and play tennis, you know, 3-4 hours a day. You know, we have midterms every 3 weeks, and, you know, so I think it's definitely something to really focus on, and really to prioritize.
Wait, so you guys do quarter system, right?
Yeah, so, you know, most classes, you know, we have, you know, so, you know, quarters, you know, say 10, 11 weeks. So we'll have, you know, first midterm, week 3 or week 4, you know, week 6 or 7, the second one, and then the final. So there's very little downtime. So it's constantly, you know, kind of go, go, go. And so, you know, sometimes it can get very overwhelming, especially if you're taking a high unit course load, you know, and you're expected to perform on the court, you know, against, you know, top teams.
And would you say you have you focus on the mental health aspect of yourself since your time at juniors, considering like you were traveling basically every week and you were competing like against high quality opponents and you were so young still?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think that, you know, my family did a good job of, you know, when I got home, you know, so I'm taking a lot of days off, you know, being able to see my friends. You know, I think that's something that my parents did really well, that, you know, didn't put as much pressure on me, you know, being able to hang out and stuff like that. And kind of, you know, making sure I have a life off the court as well. You know, my life is more than, you know, just hitting the yellow tennis ball every second of every day.
And do you think that's important for student athletes when they're in college, just having like an escape of athletics and academics?
Absolutely. You know, my first quarter when I got to Stanford, I was very overwhelmed. You know, was really caught behind in school. You know, had so much tennis, and, you know, it is really difficult than it is, you know, at a school like Little Springs. And so, you know, kind of getting a friend group here and, you know, being able to just relax sometimes with them, you know, definitely really helped. I think, you know, luckily, you know, this year Stanford's, it's a bit different. You know, only athletes are on campus as of now. But, you know, having kind of a really good bond with my team and, you know, being able to really relax with them as well has really make it, you know, a fun environment, and one, you know, where you're not just focused on tennis every single second.
Okay, wait, so science, technology, and society, that's your major, right?
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of, you know, kind of the business-esque major at Stanford. You know, I think most of us at school here, we either do economics, STS, or, you know, kind of computer science, and, you know, I computer science wasn't for me, and I just felt like STS would be a better mix. You know, kind of being able to, you know, do an interdisciplinary major and kind of combine a bunch of stuff together, instead of just focusing on economics.
All right. That's awesome, man. Wait, so how many classes are you taking per course?
So normally to graduate on time, I think you normally have to take 15. So, you know, that's basically 3 quarters, a year, you know, times, you know, so basically 45 times 4. And I'm normally taking around 17 to 18, so I'm actually a bit ahead right now. I think I'm about a quarter ahead. So.
Oh, okay, so you're good then.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah, wait, so I actually gotta ask you about this, man. Every time I see you play, you're wearing a long sleeve shirt underneath your shirt, your Stanford shirt. Is there a reason behind that?
Everyone's always making fun of me on the team for that, too. No, I mean, I always feel like it makes me a little warmer, a little more heat. You know, I'm kind of used to that Florida heat, especially for my back. And I just feel like, you know, when it's a bit cold, it just kind of helps me warm up and kind of stay really warm during the matches. You know, I don't think you'll see me wearing long sleeves as much in Florida, for now at least.
What about the sleeve? You don't rock the sleeve?
No, I don't really wear that as much. I think I wore it a couple times last year, but I think I lost a couple matches, so it had to go.
That's funny, man. So this is the last segment of the podcast. It's called the D15 presented by TAP. It's basically five rapid fire questions. You gotta answer them as fast as you can, okay?
Okay.
Florida or California?
Florida.
Athletics or academics?
Academics.
Favorite college memory?
Favorite college memory. Probably last year beating Ohio State. You know, Neil clinching for us was a really, really amazing time.
Most listened artist at the moment?
Avicii.
Other than tennis related, what profession would you like to attempt?
Finance.
All right. So, but just to be clear, like tennis is some, pro tennis is something you actually want to pursue once your college career is over, or is it like too, is that too far?
No, absolutely. You know, the goal is, you know, post tennis, post college to, you know, to give it a shot at the pros. You know, I'm in junior year of college now, so, you know, we'll see how the season goes and hopefully get a crack at NCAAs.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Wait, before we go, so you were telling me you also lived in California, right? So you lived in UK, California, and Florida.
Yeah, I lived in Atlanta, UK, California, Philadelphia, and Florida.
California, was it? Was that Southern California?
No, it was. It was 1 year in Central California.
Okay, so
Bradstein, so I lived there.
All right. So, would you say the junior tennis level is higher in Florida than California? That's a really controversial question and topic.
I think so, yeah.
Be careful with your answer.
Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, obviously you had the USTA there. You know, that's more of a center than Carson. But I just, you know, naturally think that the level has always been stronger when I was younger, at least.
All right. So you fuck with Carson heavy, right? Winning the title there as well?
Yeah, I got lucky there. That was a good week.
All right, man. That's all I got for you today. I'm glad we were able to pull this off. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're in the middle of the season right now with school and everything, but yeah, man, I really appreciate it.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks to all the fans for tuning in to another episode of the D1 Only podcast presented by TAP, Thoughts, Actions, and Progress, and see you guys next time.